still looking down at my phone. Me. Little Peppers closed. I hesitated, then typed again. But we can go to the crane if you want. It's pretty good. I put my phone down and prepared to back out of Clark's driveway. I didn't want him to think it was weird that I was just sitting there, hanging out after I'd walked his dog. But a second later it buzzed and I picked it up. Alexander Walker.
Sounds good. Meet there or meet at home?
I stared at the last word he'd typed. I knew what he meant, of course. He meant the house we were both currently living in. But whenever I saw or heard that word, I always thought of the farmhouse first. Our house in Sandwich Woods was never the place that came to mind. Me. I'll meet you there. I'd gotten a text when I was merging onto the highway, and so it wasn't until I pulled into the crane's parking lot that I was able to look at it. Alexander Walker.
Stuck in traffic by Eastview. There in 15.
I looked at the words on my screen for a moment, trying to get them to make sense, before I realized that the text had been sent 20 minutes ago, which meant I was probably late. I hurried into the restaurant, feeling like everything was suddenly backward. I had gotten used to my dad being perpetually 10 or more minutes late, to the point where I rarely showed up for things with him on time. I'd start getting texts from Peter, or some random intern, usually a minute before my dad would be there, and then get up to the second information about where he was and what he was doing, like he was a plane whose progress needed to be monitored. So it was beyond strange to walk in and see my dad sitting at a table, waiting. Hi, I said, sliding down into the seat across from him. Sorry, I thought you'd be late.
It's fine, my dad said, giving me a quick smile. No problem.
I reached over and took a sip from my water glass, noticing how strange it was that my dad's BlackBerry wasn't on the table with us. That, frankly, my dad was here at all, not jumping up to take calls or sending emails while I texted with my friends or played games on my phone. Something to drink? The waitress asked, and when I saw who it was, I sank a little lower in my seat, holding up my menu to block my face. My friends and I had almost been kicked out of here by this same waitress, Wanda, when she and Toby got into an argument about the complimentary mint bowl and how many was considered a reasonable amount to take. It had been a few months, though, so hopefully I was in the clear.
Iced tea, my dad said, and I piped up,
Diet Coke. I waited until I was sure she'd left before lowering my menu again.
You okay?
My dad asked, looking at me with his eyebrows raised.
Fine, I said immediately. Just fine.
I opened my menu, then set it aside immediately, since I always ordered the same thing here. My dad set his menu aside as well, and we looked at each other in silence. I suddenly wished I'd pretended I needed more time with it, just to have a prop in front of me. So, I said, after we'd gotten our drinks and given our orders, and I wasn't sure I could stand the silence any longer. How was your day?
Fine,
my dad said automatically. It seemed like that was all there was going to be to it, but a moment after he went on.
Yesterday was the last day I could have any communication with the office. The investigation started today, so I'm officially not working.
Oh, I said, a little taken aback. I'd realized, in theory, that my dad would have to stop working when he took his leave of absence. But, like all good theories, I'd never seen it put into practice. My dad worked all the time. It was just who he was. Even before he'd been a congressman, I used to hear stories about his public defender days, sleeping on couches and eating vending machine dinners, standing up for the people nobody else was going to defend. It looked like he was still working. He was wearing a suit and a collared shirt, but no tie, which was what he wore when he wanted to seem professional, but not stuffy. "So," I said. "What did you do?"
"I went to the library," he said. "Got some books I'd been wanting to read for, the last decade or so. And then proceeded not to read any of them. Did you know that we have a channel that shows classic basketball games?"
I shook my head. "I did not."
"Well, we do,"
my dad said, giving me a slightly embarrassed smile.
"I may have watched one from the 80s. One or four."
I smiled at that. Even though the outcome was decided years ago?
"Ah,"
my dad said as he unwrapped his chopsticks, separated them, and set them to the side of his silverware.
"But there always seems like the possibility that something might change this time around."
Silence fell again, and I was about to take a breath and say something about the decor or the size of the restaurant when my dad asked,
"So what about you?"
He cleared his throat.
"I mean, how was your day?"
"Oh," I said. "Well," I knew I should probably tell him about my job. With Maya trusting me to work on my own, it seemed likely that I wasn't going to get fired. But I didn't want to see his expression when he heard what I was going to be spending the summer doing. I knew I'd have to tell him eventually. But not today. Not when I'd just begun to feel like I was getting the hang of it.
"It was fine," I said. And without warning, my mind was suddenly back on the text he'd sent.
You texted earlier that you were on Eastview." My dad nodded. "Were you?" I took a breath and made myself ask it. "Were you at the old house?" My dad looked up at me, his brow creasing.
"The farmhouse?"
he asked. Like we had so many other old houses he needed to clarify. I nodded, not even sure what I wanted his answer to be. There was a piece of me that wanted him to say that he'd been over there, that maybe he went all the time when he was back, and since I had never asked him, I never knew. It would be some kind of proof, at least, that he thought about my mother occasionally, that he remembered the life we'd all had there together. My dad sat back in his chair, and it was like something crossed his face briefly before his normal expression returned again.
"There was traffic on the Merritt, so I got off at the exit by East Loop and drove over here from there," he said,
then shook his head like he was still trying to understand me.
"Why would I go to the farmhouse?"
I said, reaching forward and taking my own paper-wrapped chopsticks, unwrapping them mostly to have something to do with my hands while I tried to sort out what I wanted to say. "I don't know." I took a breath and realized that even though I might not know exactly what I wanted to say, I was pretty sure I knew where it was coming from. It was like something had been churned up since the press conference. I wasn't sure if it was seeing my mother's painting, or reading what my dad had written, or even if it was just this, the reality of the two of us struggling to talk to each other when there were no distractions to hide behind. I looked down at the table, wishing I'd never brought it up, wishing I hadn't asked. I should have known the answer would be something like trying to avoid the traffic. When Wanda arrived bearing food, we busied ourselves with our meals until there was just the sound of silverware on plates, and it seemed to take up so much time and energy it was hard to imagine how we would have talked anyway. We ate in silence until Wanda came back to check on us, and my dad told her that we'd love the check, please. We were ready to go.
but that everything had been really wonderful. No complaints. Just great.
Chapter 6.
He thrusts his fists against the posts and still insists he sees the ghosts.
The actors on the stage chanted in sing-song unison. I was about to ask Palmer what the hell was going on when the group continued.
He thrusts his fists against the posts and still insists he sees the ghosts.
What is happening? Toby said from her seat next to me, her eyes wide and fixed on the stage, where the cast had begun to jump around in circles chanting,
"Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather."
Vocal warm-ups, Palmer said with a shrug. You learn to tune it out after a while. I looked at the stage again. Everyone was now lying on their backs, rolling from side to side, and I could swear they were meowing.
Really? I asked skeptically.
You can tune anything out, Bree said with authority from my other side. I've now seen Space Cowboy 14 times. I swear I'm not even hearing the dialogue anymore. Yesterday, I watched it just for the cinematography choices.
What?
Toby gasped, leaning across me to whack Bree on the arm, but hitting me in the process.
You've seen it 14 times, and you haven't snuck me in once?
You know I will, at some point. Just let me work there a little longer before I start breaking the one rule they gave me.
I thought the one rule was to always wash your hands before operating the popcorn maker, Palmer said.
Well, that too, Bree acknowledged. We were all sitting in the back row of the Stanwich Community Theater, where Palmer's stage manager table was set up. The three of us had the day off, more or less. Bree was working the evening movie shift, and I had to walk Birdie at 4. So we decided to hit the beach for the first time that summer. When we'd been figuring out our plans over group text, Palmer had been whining about the fact that she had to stage manage and how she was stuck alone in a theater all day. With her boyfriend, which Toby had pointed out, but that Palmer hadn't seemed to appreciate. So we'd decided to stop by with lunch from Stanwich Sandwich on the way to the beach. I had not realized that by agreeing to come over with food and hang out with Palmer, I would be watching Tongue Twisters performed on stage.
What to do to die today at a minute or two to two?
The group on stage started chanting while bending from side to side, apparently done with their meowing.
A thing distinctly hard to say, but harder still to do.
So, is this your job? I asked, as the group continued with this one, saying something about a dragon and a drum. You just have to sit here and watch this all day?
I wouldn't mind, Toby said, leaning forward in her seat and squinting.
That one guy up there is cute. I'm pretty sure. Is he?
When are you going to get glasses?
Bree asked her for what was probably the millionth time.
When they stop making me look like an owl, Toby said, still squinting at the stage.
You could always get contacts, Bree said, leaning closer to Toby and putting her finger on her lens, wiggling it around on her eye, causing Toby to shriek and turn away.
Stop it, she said, though she was laughing. You know I have a phobia of hands near eyes.
I wonder why, I said, knowing it was almost entirely because Bree had been doing this to Toby ever since she got contacts in 6th grade.
Which guy did you mean? Palmer asked as Toby pointed.
You think he's cute? Bree asked, shaking her head. Bree and Toby never liked the same guys, ever. Tom had a theory about why their taste never overlapped, but it involved Venn diagrams and math, and we hadn't let him get very far with it before we made him stop talking.
Oh, that's Jared, Palmer said. He's in college, and he has a girlfriend.
Damn it, Toby said as she sat back again. It's okay, Bree said, patting her arm. He isn't that cute.
He is, I think. I write down blocking when it gets set, Palmer said, leaning forward to answer my question. But my real job comes when we go into tech and performance. Then I have to call all the light and sound cues.
Look at you, Toby said proudly, nudging Palmer's arm. Sounding like you know what you're talking about.
Okay.
A bearded man who looked like he was in his 40s stood up in the front row.
Good warm-up. We're starting from the top of Act 2 in 15.
Palmer jumped up.
15 minutes,
she yelled as actors started to jump down from the stage and stream up the aisles.
Be back in 15, guys.
He just said that, Toby said.
I know, but for some reason it's my job to repeat times loudly. Hey, guys!
I glanced over and saw Tom walking down the row to join us, looking slightly out of breath.
When did you all get here? Are you going to stay and watch the rehearsal?
No, Bree, Toby, and I said in unison, and Tom took the water bottle Palmer handed him, looking hurt. It was nothing against Tom, but I really preferred to watch a play when it was rehearsed and costumed and lit and people weren't wandering aimlessly around the stage clutching their scripts.
But it's really good, Tom said enthusiastically, pulling his script out from his back pocket.
I turned my head to read the title. Bug Juice.
It's this total classic, been around forever. But the writers just won a Tony this year for their play about Tesla.
We all looked at him blankly, including Palmer.
We went to see it together, P, Tom said, sounding pained. Oh, right, Palmer said quickly, after shooting us a quick look. That one, it was really great.
How'd the ham thing go? I asked, only to see Tom's face fall even further. We really weren't making it a very good rehearsal for him.
Well, you probably didn't want that anyway, I said, talking fast. To get locked into a role like that, you need to, show your range.
Totally, Palmer said, reaching up and giving his cheek a quick kiss, then widening her eyes at me in thanks.
What's happening with cool t-shirt guy? Tom asked.
You mean dog boy? Toby corrected, turning to me.
Any progress?
You guys know his name isn't Dog Boy, I said, as firmly as possible. Toby had made good on her promise to call the next guy I liked by a nickname. And despite my best efforts, it seemed to be sticking. I'd been talking about Clark a lot to my friends. The way you can when you have a crush on someone you know absolutely nothing about. Like I've told you before, it's Clark. Toby waved this way.
Who's named Clark?
Well, who's named Dog Boy? Bree pointed out, not unreasonably.
Clark what? Tom asked, taking a long drink of his water.
You know multiple Clarks? I asked, stalling.
Maybe, Tom said with a shrug.
You don't know a Clark, I said, feeling like we were losing sight of logic entirely. You certainly don't know more than one.
Only one way to find out.
Palmer raised an eyebrow at me like she knew I was hiding something.
Fine, I said with a sigh as I examined my nails. He's Clark Getz Hoffman.
There was slightly stunned silence from my friends, and then Toby let out a soft whistle.
Jeez, did his parents really hate him or something?
Nope, Tom said, shaking his head. Doesn't ring a bell.
I told you, I said.
So what's happening with you and Clark Getz Hoffman? Bree asked, and I winced, thinking that I actually preferred Dog Boy.
Nothing, I said with a sigh.
It was unfortunately true. Clark had arranged with Dave and Maya for Birdie to be walked once a day, even on the weekends. Maya had offered to take those shifts for me, to give me some days off, but I'd told her I would do them. So I'd been back to his house 6 more times, but it wasn't like I'd made any huge progress. I hadn't even talked to him yesterday. He'd just waved from the window as I walked down the driveway with Birdie. He was usually there, either when I arrived or left. I'd decided that the Jeep with the Colorado plates was his, since it was always the only car there. I'd never seen anyone other than him, though, so it seemed like both his parents must work all day, and that's why they needed a dog walker. I still wasn't clear on why Clark didn't do it, since it seemed like he was home anyway. In the week or so since I'd had to observe him, my theoretical crush had only increased. Clark still seemed pretty nervous around me whenever I picked up or dropped off Birdie, always managing to drop something, or talking a little too fast, and for some reason, this made him even cuter. I also had the feeling that if we could talk for more than 5 minutes, this would go away. He usually stopped dropping things right about the time Birdie would yank me toward the door, having gotten fed up with waiting. When I looked online for more information about him, since all I knew about him was that he liked the same movies as Tom and was bad at walking his dog, neither of which were turning out to be great conversation starters, I couldn't find anything, no matter how much I Googled. Nobody I knew had heard of a Clark Getz Hoffman going to school around us. And, like my friends had just proved, that wasn't a name you quickly forgot. I figured that maybe he went to boarding school during the year or something. Even as I tried to tell myself I was being ridiculous, I'd started spending more and more time getting ready each day, to the point where Maya, when we were doing a key exchange yesterday, had waggled her eyebrows at me and asked me if I had a hot date. "You should ask him out," Palmer said, with the confidence of someone who's been in a long-term relationship for 3 years. "I mean, what's the worst he can say?"
"He could say no," Toby pointed out.
"And then he could say, 'You're fired, please don't walk my dog anymore,'" Bree added.
"Right," I agreed. I'd already done my mental pros and cons list about this, and had realized how awkward it would be if I asked him out, got rejected, and then had to see him every day. Plus, there was something nice about how things were right now. Theoretical crushes could remain perfect and flawless, because you never actually had to find out what that person was really like, or deal with the weird way they chewed, or anything.
"I think you should just go for it," Tom said, giving me a thumbs up.
"Give him a shot."
Palmer gave him a level look.
"Is this just because you want another guy to hang out with?"
"Not entirely," Tom muttered, suddenly finding the floor very interesting.
"I just liked his Doctor Who shirt."
"You can hang out with Wyatt tonight," Bree said, and Toby's head whipped around so fast I got smacked in the face by her hair. "He said he was going to try and stop by the diner. And there's supposed to be a party at the orchard."
"Oh, Wyatt's back?"
Tom asked, sounding distinctly unenthusiastic.
"Yay."
"How do you know that?" Toby asked, leaning across me to get closer to Bree, like proximity would help her understand this.
"Did he call you? Did you talk to him? Did he say anything about me?"
"He just messaged me last night," Bree said. "Calm down."
"How could you not have told me this? Can I see your phone?" Toby asked, now practically in my lap as she tried to reach across me and into Bree's bag.
"Oh my God, what did he say?"
"Here."
Bree said, handing her phone to Toby, who stayed exactly where she was, half-leaning across me.
Tobes, I said, trying to nudge her off me.
Shh, I'm reading.
See? Bree asked, shaking her head. He basically said that he's in town. I told him we might be at the diner tonight, and he said he'd stop by. End of story.
Wait, I thought you liked Wyatt, Palmer said, turning to Tom.
Of course he likes Wyatt, Toby said, not taking her eyes from Bree's phone or moving off of me.
He's okay, Tom said with a shrug. I just didn't know we were going to be hanging out with him again this year.
You were just telling me how much you wanted another guy to hang out with, Palmer reminded him.
Yeah, but Wyatt's always like calling me brother, Tom said, dropping his voice down into a pretty decent Wyatt imitation. And he's always hitting me on the back.
Maybe that means he likes you, Toby said, looking up from the screen for only a second.
Well, it hurts, Tom muttered.
Oh, shit, Palmer said, looking at her watch and jumping up.
I totally haven't been paying attention to the time, she nudged Tom.
You've got to get back there, babe.
Tom nodded, gave her a quick kiss, and started to jog up the aisle. She turned to us and nodded up toward the director.
I've got to get these actors back in. See you guys tonight?
Absolutely, Bree said as she stood and started to gather her things.
Just text us when you're done with this.
Have fun, I said, waving at Tom and starting to head out of the row, but not before Palmer grabbed my arm.
You should go for it with Clark, she said, giving my hand a squeeze.
Why not?
I smiled at her and headed up the aisle of the theater, then out into the bright sunshine of the parking lot where Bree's SUV, a purple Escape hybrid, was parked. She'd gotten it earlier this year and immediately named it McQueen.
Because it's the Grape Escape, she'd said, smiling proudly when she'd told us.
Get it?
None of us did, and Bree had declared us all completely lacking in any kind of film education, and then made us watch The Great Escape and Bullet back to back, which led to Palmer developing a huge crush on Steve McQueen. This then led to Tom getting incredibly jealous of a dead movie star and getting a 60s haircut that looked terrible and took months to grow out. I knew that why not was pretty much Palmer's motto, but even so, I found her words echoing in my head the whole time we were at the beach. We spent the afternoon stretched out on towels on the sand, passing magazines and iPods and bags of chips back and forth. Toby endlessly speculating about Wyatt and what she should wear, and if she should make the first move, Bree talking her through every scenario, even increasingly unlikely ones, until they were both doubled over laughing. I was only half paying attention, my mind on Clark and whether I should go for it. I was still debating this as I arrived at Clark's, a tank top and cutoffs thrown over my bikini, my hair up in a slightly sandy knot. He wasn't around when I let myself in, and I managed to catch Birdie on only the second try. I developed a technique that involved hiding a leash in my back pocket and not letting Birdie see it until I had a firm grip on his collar. I walked Birdie around the neighborhood, taking a slightly longer route than usual, trying to figure out what my hesitation was. Why wasn't I just going for it? Asking guys out had never scared me before, and it honestly wasn't fear of losing this client. I knew Maya would understand if I told her I was no longer comfortable walking Birdie. And while there was a tiny piece of me that was embarrassed that Clark knew me as a dog walker, about as unprestigious as you could get, it wasn't like he went to my school or we knew anyone in common. If this was going to be a 3-week relationship, max, what did that really matter? By the time I was walking back to Clark's house, I'd made my decision. There was really no downside, after all. If I asked him out and he said yes, that would be great. If he said no, because he might have a girlfriend for all I knew, I'd pretend that I had been asking him to hang out as friends and discuss Birdie. And then I'd get Maya and Dave to take over some of the walks, since I was really just doing this every single day so I'd get to see him. Either way, it would be fine. There was very little risk involved, just momentary humiliation, and I could certainly handle that. I unclipped Birdie's leash, and he went running into the kitchen, his nails scrabbling on the wood floors.
"Hey there, buddy,"
I heard Clark say, as I realized that he was around and this was going to happen.
"Did you have a good time?"
I took a long breath, held it, then let it go as I pressed my lips together, already practicing what I would say. When I walked into the kitchen, Clark looked over at me from where he was leaning against the counter. I realized he looked nervous, even more so than usual, shooting me a smile that faded almost immediately.
"Hello, Andy,"
he said, his voice higher than normal.
"How are you today? How did it go?"
"Good," I said, heading to Birdie's cupboard to hang up his leash, wondering why Clark was acting like this. Like there was a teleprompter he was reading off of that I couldn't see. It was making it that much harder for me to segue into asking him out. I took a breath, reminding myself once again that this didn't matter. Why was I so nervous?
"So, Clark," I started.
"I was wondering,"
Clark said at the exact same time. Silence fell between us. Nothing but the sound of Birdie slurping from his water dish, as we both waited for the other one to start talking.
"Sorry,"
I finally said, gesturing toward him.
"You go first."
I really didn't think I could ask him out now, only to have him say that he needed to change the time of Birdie's walk or something.
I was wondering,"
Clark said. He looked around and gestured to the counter behind him.
"If you would like a chocolate."
I took a step closer and saw the large box that was sitting there, a very fancy and expensive kind that I recognized. Small boxes had been given out as favors at one of my dad's fundraisers, and I'd eaten the extras for weeks.
"I didn't buy them for you," he said, then blinked. "Not that I wouldn't have,"
he clarified, talking fast.
They were sent here today, that's all. That's what I meant."
"Thanks," I said, fighting the urge to smile as I pulled the lid off the box and grabbed the first one I saw, hoping that it wouldn't be hazelnut. I liked almost every other kind of chocolate, but couldn't stand hazelnut anything. I popped it in my mouth, and felt my stomach clench when I realized that it was, in fact, hazelnut. It seemed to be hazelnut cream flavored with an actual hazelnut thrown in for good measure.
"Is something wrong?"
I shook my head and tried to force myself to swallow quickly and avoid tasting as much as possible.
"Fine,"
I said when I was able to speak again.
"I mean, thank you. That was...
chocolate."
"So,"
Clark said, crossing his arms and then uncrossing them and knocking the box of chocolates to the floor in the process.
"Oh, geez,"
he muttered as I watched them go flying.
"I've got these,"
I said, chasing down the two that had spilled out of the box and landed near my feet as Clark picked up the still full box and placed it carefully on the counter. I stepped around him to toss out the two that had landed on the floor, just as he took a step back, my hip bumping his, our shoulders brushing.
"Sorry."
I felt heat rush to my cheeks and told myself that I was being beyond ridiculous. He liked me, right? He had to, otherwise he wouldn't be this nervous. I just had to get this over with.
So, Clark said, adjusting his glasses. "Do you ever work nights?"
I felt my smile fade as I realized I might have read this all wrong. I had thought that maybe he'd been working up the nerve to ask me out. But maybe all of this had just been about the dog.
Nope, I said, trying to keep my voice professional and friendly and not reveal anything else I was currently feeling.
But, I mean, if there were an emergency or something, I probably would.
No, Clark said, shaking his head. I was just trying to get a sense of your schedule.
He blinked, like he'd just heard himself, and I could see the tops of his ears were starting to turn red.
Wow, that sounded creepy. I didn't mean that in, like, a weird way. I think I'm making this worse. Oh, God.
He took a breath, then swallowed hard.
I was wondering, you know, what you do at night.
He stared at me in horror after he said it, like he couldn't quite believe the words had come out of his mouth.
Oh, man, he muttered, closing his eyes behind his glasses for a moment. This isn't going well.
I had to bite my lip to stop myself from smiling wide.
Hey, Clark? Okay, he said, taking a big breath, and I was pretty sure he hadn't heard me. Andy, so you've been spending a lot of time with Birdie, you know, taking him on walks and...
Clark's face fell as he realized a second too late what he'd done. Birdie looked up from his water dish, droplets hanging off his muzzle, practically vibrating with excitement.
You said the W word, I whispered.
I know, Clark said, as Birdie leaped in the air and tore out of the kitchen, only to tear back a second later, look between us, and take off running again.
I just...
Clark said, raising his voice to be heard over the sound of a 100-pound dog running circles around us.
Was thinking that since you've been spending time, you know, with Birdie, maybe we should talk about him, and...
Birdie raced out of the kitchen, nails scrabbling on the floors, and I looked across at Clark in the sudden silence.
Hey, Clark?
He looked up. Want to hang out with me tonight? He just blinked at me for a second, then smiled, and I almost had to take a step back from it. It was like all the other smiles he'd given me so far were pale imitations. This one deepened his dimples, pushed his glasses up higher on his nose, and crinkled the corners of his eyes.
Yes, he said, sounding beyond relieved, giving me a half laugh. That sounds great.
Awesome, I said, smiling back at him.
So we'll get dinner, he said. I'll find someplace good.
He slid a notepad and a pen that had been on the counter over toward me.
Want to write down your address and I'll pick you up?
Oh, I said, taken aback for a second. I'd assumed we'd do something like meet up at the orchard or go for coffee. But going out to dinner and having him pick me up suddenly seemed really exciting and a lot more grown up.
Sure, I said, writing out my address. I guess, pick me up at 7?
7, he said, still smiling. 7's great. I love 7. Okay, that's a plan.
It's a plan, I echoed, smiling back at him,
stopping myself before it became a full-on foolish grin, even though that was what I was feeling. I had a date tonight. Like an actual date, with a guy coming to the door and picking me up. And I technically had to ask him out, but who cared about that? Without meaning to, I found my eyes drifting down to his mouth. By the end of tonight, we might have kissed. I pushed the pad of paper back across to him. It's in Stanwich Woods, I said, and he nodded, but without any indication that he knew what that was. So just tell the guard at the gatehouse that you're coming to see me and they'll let you in.
Great,
he said, ripping off the top piece of paper and folding it carefully in half before sticking it in the pocket of his light blue t-shirt. We looked at each other for a long beat, both of us still smiling, and I realized I needed to get out of there before this nice moment turned awkward.
"Well, then, I'll see you," I said, as I started to back out of the kitchen, nearly tripping over Birdie, who was running back in, clearly wondering why neither one of us was chasing him around with a leash. At 7, I patted Birdie's head, then glanced at the clock and realized that was in an hour and a half. I'd have to get moving.
"See you,"
Clark echoed, and I gave him a quick nod before I turned and headed out, fighting the urge to do a little hop as I went. I walked to my car, feeling like finally something was working out this summer. I may not have had a prestigious program to put on my resume, but I had a date with a really cute boy, and if it all went according to plan, we'd be kissing in a few hours. I pulled open the door to my car, already texting my friends.
Me. Date with Clark tonight. Need prep help and reinforcements.
Then, not quite able to keep the smile off of my face, I started the car and headed for home.
"You look great," Palmer said from where she was sprawled across my bed.
I was standing in front of my mirror, fussing with my hair, even though Palmer had already straightened it and told me not to touch it.
"I liked the other dress better," Toby said from my computer screen. I was video chatting with her, and Bree, in theory, though Bree was in the middle of a fight with both her younger sister Sonia and her older sister Sneha. So every few minutes she would storm off screen, then return a while later looking vexed. I hesitated, looking at my closet.
"No," Palmer said, seeing where I was looking. "Andy, no, this dress is great. Look, let's ask a boy." She snapped a picture of me before I could stop her and started typing on her phone, sending it to Tom, I assumed, though I wasn't sure if he even counted, since whenever he weighed in, he was always careful to tell us that while we might look fine, Palmer definitely looked better. I turned back to the mirror and smoothed down my hair. Palmer had walked over from her house only a few minutes after I'd gotten home, and had been supervising the process ever since. We had gone through most of my clothes together, and we'd decided on a denim dress with flat black sandals and dangly earrings. I felt dressed up, but still like myself, and I had liked the outfit before Toby had weighed in.
"What do you mean?" I asked, walking over to the computer.
"Eh," Toby said from my screen with a one-armed shrug. "I just don't know if it's, you know, dynamic enough."
"It's great," Palmer said, glaring at Toby.
"Bree," she called, but Bree didn't appear in her window, and we were just looking at her alien poster staring back at us.
"You think?" I asked, pulling down on the hem and tucking my hair behind my ears.
"Yes," Palmer said firmly. Her phone beeped, and she glanced at it, then held it out to me.
"And Tom agrees. He said you look, and I quote, not bad."
"That's not really a great endorsement," I said, glancing over at my screen where Toby gave me an "I told you so" look.
"Maybe I should try the other dress again."
"No," Palmer said, turning my computer screen around to face the wall while Toby yelped, "Hey!"
"You seriously look great, and we don't have time for you to change again."
I glanced down at my phone and realized she was right. I looked back in the mirror and decided that I looked fine. After all, Clark had been seeing me in my dog walking clothes for a week.
"Okay," I said, letting out a long breath and then turning to Palmer.
"Let's do this." She nodded and rolled off my bed, pocketing her phone in her cutoffs.
"Bye, Toby,"
she called, and I leaned over to the screen and waved, seeing that Bree still hadn't reappeared.
"Text me updates," Toby said, giving me a wink. "Have fun."
We walked down to the foyer again, Palmer leading the way. She knew my house as well as her own.
So, she said, stopping at the door to dig her keys out of her purse.
If it's going really well, bring him to the orchard later.
I smiled at that, feeling my cheeks get hot at the thought of things going well enough that I'd bring him to meet my friends after the first night. For that to happen, there would definitely be some kissing. Let's just see how this goes.
Andy?
I turned around to see my dad standing in the hallway that led from his study, squinting at me. He had stopped wearing his button-downs in the last few days, and now he was wearing what he wore at more casual events on the campaign trail or strategy sessions. Khakis, a polo shirt, and loafers. I honestly wasn't sure I'd ever seen my father in a t-shirt. I wasn't entirely sure he owned one.
Yes? I called back, looking at Palmer and then widening my eyes at her. I had assumed my dad would stay in his study, reading or watching old sports games, like he'd spent the last few days doing. I was going to write a note and leave it on the kitchen counter before I left, but that was as much as I'd decided to do in terms of alerting him to my plans for the night.
I thought I heard,
my dad said, as he walked down the hall toward me, and I felt my stomach sink. I'd hoped he had a quick question that I could shout back the answer to, and then he could have gone back to watching 80s basketball players in their disturbingly short shorts.
Oh,
my dad said when he saw Palmer.
Sorry, I didn't realize Andy had anyone over.
Hi, Congressman Walker, Palmer said cheerfully. A second later, though, when she realized what she'd said, she paled.
I mean, Mr. Walker, she added quickly. My dad was still looking at her, so she glanced at me, then tried,
Alexander?
Mr. Walker's fine, my dad said, giving her that practiced smile he used when he was working a rope line. How are you doing, Palmer? How are your parents?
Oh, they're fine. Thanks for asking.
Palmer was just leaving, I said, before my dad could start asking about her brothers and sisters. I could practically see him slipping back into concerned candidate mode, wanting to show her that he remembered her siblings' names, that he'd held on to tiny snippets of information. We didn't have time for that. It was going to be tight, but I was hoping I could get her out of here and my dad back in his study before Clark arrived. I had never done the guy-parent introduction thing, and I really didn't want to start now. I raised my eyebrows at Palmer, and she nodded.
I was just leaving, she repeated back, matching my inflection and shooting me a tiny smile.
Talk to you later, she said as she opened the door. I pulled it back for her, and she mouthed, Oh my God, to me before turning back to my dad, her face composed and polite.
Nice to see you again, Mr. Walker, she called.
And you as well,
my dad said, his voice warm and sincere, like she was just the person he'd hoped to see in his house unexpectedly today.
Please give my best to Mark and Kathy.
Will do, she said, giving him a tiny wave before she headed out the door, pulling it shut behind her. I looked at my dad in the sudden silence of the foyer, trying to figure out how I could get him back to his office without letting him know that's what I was trying to do. Or maybe I could drive down the street and meet Clark at the gatehouse to avoid any possibility of overlap.
So, I started, just as my dad said,
Are you going somewhere?
Oh, I said, then nodded. Yeah, I'm going out to dinner. A friend is picking me up.
As soon as the words were out of my mouth, I regretted them. Why hadn't I just said I was meeting someone? I didn't have Clark's number, but if I was out by the street early enough, I could have flagged him down from out there. My dad nodded, and silence fell between us again. I had just taken a breath to say that I'd see him later when he asked,
Which friend?
You don't know them, I said, then heard from somewhere on the second floor a clock begin to chime. Was it 7 already? I pulled my phone out from my bag and saw that the clock upstairs must have been fast. It was 5:02. But either way, I needed to wrap this up now.
I don't? My dad asked, folding his arms.
And again, I cursed myself for not just saying that I was meeting Toby or Bree at the diner. I don't think so, I said, letting the sentence rise in a question as I started to edge toward the door. I'd better get going.
Wait a second,
my dad said, running a hand over the back of his neck. He looked distinctly uncomfortable, like he was an actor in a bad play, speaking words he hadn't totally memorized.
Should you be going out with someone you don't know?
I looked at him for a second, trying to decide if the question was rhetorical or if he actually wanted an answer. Also, I didn't understand why he was suddenly acting like a father in a sitcom. I hadn't asked my dad for permission to go anywhere in years. He either hadn't been around to ask, or if he happened to be home, he'd nod and wave at me, usually while taking a call, as I yelled that I was going out. This had to feel as weird for him as it did for me. Look, I started, just as I saw a slightly dented Jeep signal and then pull slowly into our driveway. I tried as fast as I could to think of something, then felt my pulse start to pick up when I realized I no longer knew how to get out of this. But the last thing I wanted was for Clark to be here, in my house, talking to my dad. I hadn't realized how much I liked keeping these worlds separate until it appeared they were about to collide. I looked out to the driveway, wondering what my dad would do if I just left, walked out the door, and met Clark before he'd even made it halfway to the porch. But before I could do anything, Clark came into view, and I realized my moment to escape had passed, and this was inevitable. I wondered, as I watched him walk up the path and then climb the front porch steps, if this was what pilots felt like when they realized they were going to crash, but still had to wait for the impact. My dad frowned as Clark got closer, then looked at me, his jaw falling open like he'd just figured something out.
Andy, are you going on a date?
Kind of, I muttered, as I reached to pull open our door. Our front doors were half glass, and I knew it already looked weird enough that I was standing around waiting for my date, along with my father. My plan had been to pretend to read a magazine in the kitchen, not even coming close to the foyer until I heard the doorbell. You weren't supposed to let your date know that you'd been waiting around for them to arrive. You were supposed to be much too busy and interesting for that. I opened the door, and there was Clark, standing on the porch, hand half outstretched toward the bell. Hi, I said, giving him a quick smile, wishing I had more time to really appreciate the fact that he was wearing a light blue button-down with his jeans, that his brown hair looked like it had been recently combed, and that he was just so cute it was almost unfair. Come on in! I said, hearing how high-pitched and stressed my voice sounded, which I was pretty sure wasn't making the best first date impression. My dad's... I let this trail off when I realized there wasn't an easy way to sum this up, and just stepped back to let Clark inside.
Hi,
Clark said to me, smiling wide, then looking at my father and standing up a little straighter.
Hello, sir.
He said. My dad's eyebrows shot up, and I knew Clark had gained some points in his eyes. First impressions were big with him. Dad, this is Clark Getz Hoffman, I said, just as Clark said,
McAllister.
What? I turned to look at him.
Clark McAllister,
Clark said. I thought your last name was Getz Hoffman.
You two need a minute to confer?
My dad asked, looking between the two of us. Sorry, I said, shaking my head, trying to get my bearings. Maybe his parents were divorced, and this was his mother's new name or something.
Alexander Walker, my dad said, reaching out and shaking Clark's hand with his politician's handshake. Two pumps, lots of eye contact. Then he paused and turned to me.
That's right, isn't it, Walker?
Ha ha, I said, trying to silently tell my dad this was not the time to try to be funny.
Well, whoever you are, Clark, it's nice to meet you.
You as well. Clark looked at my dad for a beat longer, frowning slightly before he turned back to me.
You look great, he said quietly to me.
Thanks. I took a step toward the door, which was still open. So we should go.
Just a second, my dad said, and I noticed his voice had dropped to his authoritative TV spot timbre. You two go to school together?
Clark glanced at me, then turned back to my dad.
No, sir, we, don't.
My dad paused mid-nod.
But you're going into senior year as well?
No, Clark looked at me again. We hadn't talked about it, but I had assumed that he was going to be an incoming freshman at a college somewhere in the fall. Or maybe that he was going into his senior year at a different school from me.
I actually got my GED a few years ago, Clark said, looking from me to my dad as he spoke. So, I'm, not in school.
You're not? I asked, not able to stop myself.
I was going to mention it over dinner, he explained.
So,
my dad said, and I could practically feel him trying to regroup.
How do you two know each other, then?
Andy walks my dog, Clark said, giving my dad a smile. My dad looked at me, not even trying to hide the utterly baffled look on his face. And I knew I was paying the price now for all the times I'd thought about telling him about my job, and then had chosen to avoid the subject entirely.
Well, not my dog, exactly, Clark amended after a second. But the dog who lives in my house.
Now it was my turn to stare at Clark, but before I could say anything, he added,
Well, not my house, so to speak.
Birdie's not your dog? I asked, feeling my eyebrows fly up.
Why are you walking his dog?
My dad asked.
Andy's a dog walker, Clark said.
Then a moment later, and in the silence that followed, he seemed to read the room.
Was that supposed to be a secret?
He asked, leaning closer to me, his voice barely above a whisper.
It's my summer job, I said to my dad, crossing and then uncrossing my arms.
Since when?
A week and a half ago.
But you have no experience with dogs,
my dad said, still staring at me. I got trained, I said quickly to Clark, before I started.
You do a great job with Birdie, Clark assured me.
She really does, he added to my dad. Help me understand this,
my dad said, turning back to Clark. It didn't seem like this positive report of my job performance had cleared anything up for him.
You're not in school, but you'll be going to college, I assume.
No, Clark said, glancing once at me before putting his hands in his pockets, then taking them out again.
I'm a writer, so I've been mostly focusing on that. I'm not sure college fits into my plans at the moment. A writer,
my dad repeated, his voice flat. I was trying very hard not to look quite as thrown by all this as I felt. Clearly, the downside of having a theoretical crush on someone you knew nothing about was the crashing realization that you actually knew nothing about them.
Yeah,
Clark said with a low, nervous laugh.
I write fantasy novels.
Wait, what? I asked. All of this was moving too quickly, and I really felt like it would have been better to find this stuff out while sitting across from Clark in a restaurant somewhere, or while driving there in his car, not in front of my dad.
Another thing I was going to mention later